Georgia was cooking when she heard the news. Mrs. Rosa Parks had been arrested, pulled right off a city bus, and thrown in jail because she wouldn't let a white man take her seat. That was no surprise to Georgia. She had lived her whole life here in Montgomery, Alabama, and she knew there was no justice under segregation. Segregation was a long, hot summer, dragging wishful children past the shady park with the whites-only sign. It was the pale pink hands of waitresses serving white businessmen their lunch, as if it wasn't Georgia in the kitchen cooking up Montgomery's best meatloaf and her famous sweet potato pie. And the city buses, standing on her aching feet all the way home after a long day's work, with rows and rows of seats up front left empty, just in case a white person got on. But Georgia didn't ride the buses anymore. Not since the day that driver shouted at her to get off the bus and go to the back door, after she'd already paid her 10-cent fare. Before she could get on again, he slammed the door shut and drove off. More than a month had passed, and Georgia hadn't stepped onto a city bus. Walking home was even harder on her feet than standing, but she would not give that bus company another dime. Come Monday, though, she wouldn't have to walk alone. To protest the arrest of Mrs. Parks, the radio was urging everyone to stay off city buses for one day, December 5, 1955. A boycott. Something was cooking in Montgomery, and not just Georgia's black-eyed peas. Monday morning turned up cold and gray, fixing to rain. A hard day to ask folks to walk. But as the empty buses started rolling by, Georgia could see that it would be a fine day after all. A very fine, cold, rainy day indeed. That evening, Georgia headed over to a meeting at the Holt Street Baptist Church. Seemed like all of Montgomery was there, upstairs and downstairs, spilling out onto the streets for blocks around. Mrs. Parks herself could barely manage to squeeze through the crowd. A young minister named Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. stood up to speak. Georgia knew him. He lived on South Jackson Street, a short walk from her house on Derricote. When he had special company, he'd hire Georgia to fry up a batch of crispy chicken for his guests. Tonight, Dr. King wasn't talking about chicken. He was talking about justice. He said, "My friends, there comes a time when people get tired of being trampled over by the iron feet of oppression." He said, "The great glory of American democracy is the right to protest for right." He said, "We are determined here in Montgomery to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream." Everyone agreed. The boycott must go on. Walking with the others now, walking to make a change, Georgia hardly even felt her tired feet. Still, many people couldn't get to work or school without the bus. Car owners offered rides, but who would pay for all that gasoline? Georgia and her friends piled up their money, 50 cents from one, a quarter from another. It wouldn't buy a lot of gas. But if Georgia used it to buy chicken, she could whip up some mouth-watering sandwiches to sell at the next Monday meeting at the church.